this week, we have been checking in with New Hampshire, where candidates are campaigning ahead of Tuesday's presidential primary. Well, today, one of those candidates declared victory in Iowa.
So what I want to do today, 3 days late, is to thank the people of Iowa for the very strong victory they gave us at the Iowa caucuses on Monday night.
That is Senator Bernie Sanders this afternoon at his campaign headquarters in Manchester. And Radio Boston's Chris Siderick is there for us. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Tiziana.
So, press conference was a late add to the schedule, but luckily you were there. So, can you bring us into the room?
Yeah, it was interesting. The press release went out a few minutes before 11. It originally was scheduled for noon. That got pushed back to 1, but everyone was scrambling, not just members of the media setting up cameras and things, but members of the campaign. They were trying to get all the signage up and everything set. I got to say, it was a real glimpse into how meticulous these events are planned. So, there was one volunteer that spent maybe 20 or 30 minutes ironing the New Hampshire state flag, so I thought that was interesting. But anyway, a few minutes after 1 o'clock, Senator Sanders walked in. He immediately declared victory, as you just heard, and then he basically opened up the floor questions from the media. And throughout the process, there was a definite sense that he had a clear frustration with the Iowa Democratic Party.
What has happened with the Iowa Democratic Party is an outrage, that they were that unprepared, that they put forth such a complicated process, relied on untested technology.
Seems like there's another challenge there, Chris, because didn't somebody else, as in Pete Buttigieg, already declare victory in Iowa a couple days ago?
Yeah, he did. Interestingly enough, he did that when a whopping 0% of the results had been reported. And he then later walked that back a little bit and kind of said it was more of a victory over expectations. But Senator Sanders was asked about that, essentially why people should believe him over Pete when talking about who won the Iowa caucus. Here's what he said.
Why should people believe your victory speech over his?
Because I got 6,000 more votes. And from where I come, when you get 6,000 more votes, that's generally regarded to be the winner.
So he also went on to talk about the confusion of the Iowa caucus process. In the past, it's all been all about state delegate equivalence. The person who gets the most SDEs is declared the winner. This was the first time that they've released the popular vote, and that's what he's talking about there, getting 6,000 more votes. He said the media should be more focused on the national delegates and that essentially the entire system needs to change as well.
So obviously he was taking questions. What else was he asked about?
One of the things he seemed most passionate about during the press conference was the DNC's decision to change the debate rules, which will allow Michael Bloomberg to participate down the road. Keep in mind, there had been these standards of a certain number of donations and certain polling numbers. They've removed the donation requirement because Michael Bloomberg has said he is self-funding his campaign, not taking any donors. Here's Senator Sanders talking about the rule change.
And now suddenly, a guy comes in who does not campaign one bit in Iowa, New Hampshire. He's not on the ballot, I guess, in Nevada or South Carolina. But he's worth $55 billion. And I guess if you're worth $55 billion, you can get the rules changed.
He went on to say it was totally unfair to candidates like Tulsi Gabbard, Cory Booker, Andrew Yang, who've put in the time and the work on the ground to campaign in all of these early states. And I think it's also important to keep in mind this is a candidate who has said he felt the 2016 process was unfair, that the party had rigged the system against him, and has leveled criticism at them in the past as well.
So to that point, yesterday we had Vice President Joe Biden going after Sanders, saying that Trump would love to pin the socialist label on the Democratic Party. Bernie Sanders not technically a member of the party. Did he respond to that?
He did, not actually specifically to Biden, though. He was asked about Joe Biden's comments, and he spun that into a chance to talk about what he thinks it's actually going to take to win against Donald Trump.
At the end of the day, in order to defeat Donald Trump, who will be a very formidable opponent, we are going to need an unprecedented grassroots movement of folks who are prepared to knock on doors and do all of the things that our supporters did in Iowa, and they're doing right here in New Hampshire, and they're doing right now in California and in Nevada and South Carolina and all across this country.
So, Chris, I just want to ask you really quickly, was this predominantly for him today a focus on process, horse race, what's happening in Iowa, et cetera? Did he talk about issues or his agenda? What was his focus here?
It was interesting. I would say today marked a little bit of a turning point in terms of tone. He talked a lot about the general election matchup with Donald Trump. He didn't talk about his Democratic competitors other than the one mentioned during the conversation about the debate rules. It felt like a candidate who was trying to make the turn to now front runner status, trying to look ahead to the general. It was an interesting shift in tone from him.
And I do want to stay on this kind of the horse race and process part for a minute longer, because a big part of Higgs' argument is that he's going to turn out new voters. Iowa doesn't look like that happened. There wasn't a huge increase of turnout. So did he address that?
He did. He said he was disappointed. He was pretty open and honest about that. But he said he was encouraged by the fact that there was an increase in the youth vote, actually. He said that's a big part of his campaign's success, and he takes hope from that.
All right,
if we can mobilize, and Iowa is a good start in that process, if we can mobilize and bring young people into the political process, I think it will have a very positive and profound impact on the general election.
So you talked to some young people today. You were at St. Anselm. What did you hear from them?
It was interesting. Yesterday, I covered the Youth Climate and Clean Energy Town Hall. Today, I just went to the St. Anselm campus, walked around, talked to kids who were walking around between classes or headed to the administrative office or whatever. And I got kind of mixed results in terms of how plugged into the process they were, how much they were following the race. I only found one student who said they thought they knew pretty much who they were going to vote for. That was Spencer Rose. He was a 19-year-old freshman from Cape Cod, Massachusetts. He said he's voting for Trump.
I feel like he's truthful. I'm going to say that. But I feel like when he says something, he's going to get it done. And I know he's done well for the economy. I think that's for like the people I work for back home. They really like him because they invest in stocks and stuff, and their stocks are doing very well.
I would say most of the students I talked to, rather than candidate-based, their preferences were issue-based. For example, I talked to Janelle Fassi. She was a junior from Goffstown, New Hampshire. Here's what she said she's thinking about as she's weighing the candidates.
I'd say prescription drugs, health care, especially because my dad is coming, like, our Wellson's plan has kind of ceased to exist, and so now he has to pay for his medications, and it's like $2,500, so it's really expensive.
Before I let you go, let me just ask, because you did mention that you spent yesterday with young people at a climate change forum. Any big themes or messages from there? Because we aren't still hearing a ton about climate change in this race.
Yeah, it's definitely important, especially to the younger crowd, it seems. One of the really interesting things I've noticed now talking to folks who were super plugged into the issue, like at the town hall yesterday, compared to students who are just wandering around campus who I'm running up to and shoving a microphone in their face, a lot of folks are more concerned with how a candidate presents themselves. Do they relate to the voters? Are they empathetic? Do they seem to understand the problems and issues that are facing Americans rather than specific stances necessarily on issues? And I think that is a kind of a theme you see in New Hampshire traditionally, because they have the chance to interact with these candidates on kind of a personal level in a lot of cases.
All right. That is Radio Boston's Chris Siderick in Manchester, New Hampshire. Chris, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.